Hello, everyone, and welcome to Brody Fest, the podcast where we are watching all of Adrien Brody's filmography so you don't have to. I am your host, Linnea Bullion, joined by my wonderful co-host, Amelia Barras. Hi, Amelia. How are you today?
Doing really great. Here in Chicago, the leaves have turned. It's fall now.
Amazing.
It's that, you know, like little beautiful, colorful glimpse of fall before we lose all color.
Yes, before everything.
Appreciating it.
Before it just becomes drab for 6 months in a row.
6 months straight.
I envy fall, but I do not envy what comes after it.
I know you don't.
Amelia, what did we watch this week?
This week, we watched a film that I like to call Backtrack.
You like to call it that?
It's called Backtrack. And the IMDb description is, a psychotherapist has nightmares and sinister visions. Ghosts? Is it more than his daughter's death causing this? He returns to his childhood home and dad to put things to rest.
Oh, boy.
I'll tell you one thing. I did not see the twist coming. Only because it was so out of left field. It's just like, the dad?
Okay. We'll have to get into it. This, to me, felt very like... most movies, right? If it's going to go off the rails, it's going to go off the rails in the third act. I feel like I've talked about this on this podcast, mm-hmm. where like you'll have a movie. This is not the case with this movie, but sometimes you will have a movie where the first two acts are incredible. And then they're like, oh God, we got to do something big and crazy and wild for the third act. And so they'll do that. And then it just ruins the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
This movie, the first two acts aren't that great either. So it doesn't really matter. But it does that classic horror movie, like, oh shit, we gotta like come up with a twist. But right. like they never really breadcrumb you those clues the rest of the way. Which right. means that it's very unsatisfying to watch because, as you said, it comes out of left field.
Right.
So yeah, I guess we should get into the plot. Adrien Brody is a psychologist? Psychiatrist?
Psychotherapist, they say.
Psychotherapist. Okay, so yeah. And Sam Neill is only briefly in this movie. Don't even get me started on that.
Alinea, we haven't even mentioned the accent.
I was about to say, we can't talk about Sam Neill without talking about the accents.
And Adrien Brody's accent, is this supposed to take place in New Zealand?
I think so, because Sam Neill is Kiwi, I believe. So... let me double check.
Adrien Brody, this whole movie, I had to watch with the captions on because he like whispered everything.
He did whisper everything.
To make up for the fact that he had no idea what he was doing accent-wise. No idea what he was doing.
It's so funny because I was about to say, I was like, in terms of like accents we've heard from him, it actually wasn't the most offensive to me. In that like, he could have gone... it didn't feel too dramatic to me, I guess. It was more the whispering. I did notice that as well, where I was like, man, this man is just, he seems to think that like sadness equals whispering, uh-huh. which maybe a lot of men do. That might be, you can't talk about it loudly. Otherwise it means that it's true.
Right. You can't talk sad in your full voice.
No. That's too vulnerable. Yeah, I mean, so Adrien Brody is this psychotherapist who has lost his daughter in an accident. They were walking. She was biking, right? She was literally biking down the road.
And not, okay, can I, because this is one of my favorite moments in the entire movie.
When she gets hit?
Yes, because it's so funny that how hard they hit the bicycle thing with the daughter's death. Yeah. Not only is she riding a bicycle, but she goes out of Adrien Brody's sight because why? Because he just so happens to be walking by a toy store where there is a train set, a model train set. And he is so distracted by the train set and his memory that he forgets about his daughter biking.
Well, and we should say, audience, I know you haven't watched this fucking movie, so you don't know what we're talking about right now, but it will come back. The other thing too is I feel like every time they showed a shot of the daughter, I was like, that girl's definitely old enough to look both ways before crossing the street. Like, she was like 8 years old. And it's
older. No, she looked like she was 12 playing eight.
Almost. Yeah, it was very frustrating because I was like, I could see it if she was like already in the road and the truck like hit a patch of ice or something, right? But like, they don't seem to say it. They seem to say that like this truck has right of way. There's no stop sign or anything, and she just goes into the road and gets hit by a truck.
And that was another funny thing to me is that it was like you could tell that whatever vehicle was driving behind him in the shot was gonna hit the daughter. Like, you just knew. And it's like they wanted us to know that she was gonna die because that was one motherfucker of a truck.
Yeah,
like it wasn't just like a car, you know, it was like just so happened that a gigantic truck was coming.
It was strange. So yeah, I mean, this was a strange movie for many reasons. The death of the daughter being one, and that, like, I don't know that I believe that it added all that much to the story. Like, the death of the daughter literally serves as a catalyst for Adrian Brody to examine his past. That's about the only reason it happens,
right.
Which is frustrating because you're like, no, like, your daughter died. This should kind of just be the thing that you're concerned about now.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't need to, like, the fact that it's used as this jumping off point felt just kind of icky to me, you know, mm-hmm. where I was like, oh, I don't know about this. Like, yeah. And then too, like his wife, they show his wife a couple times and she's like, obviously very depressed, like just in bed all the time.
Catatonic.
And he just leaves her to go stay with his dad. No. What happened? Is she okay? Is she eating? She doesn't seem like she can feed herself.
And why was it that he chose then to do it? Was it like coming up on a year anniversary of it or something?
I think so. Very strange. Basically, first twist. The first twist is that, so Adrian Brody has been seeing all these patients who, as they turn out to be, are ghosts. They're ghosts.
Are ghosts of the people that the train...
They don't know about the train yet. We haven't taught them about the train yet. Well, and we don't know at the time that I feel like... Okay,
oh, at that point in the movie, we don't know that his bikes caused the train?
We might have just learned, but I'm saying they, as in the audience, currently right, listening to us, doesn't know. Right, we haven't said. So basically, Adrian Brody goes home to stay with his dad and has all these newspaper clippings, and it turns out that in the 80s when he was a teenager there was a train crash because he and his friend went to go spy on people hooking up in cars near the train tracks. They left their bikes on the train tracks, which supposedly derailed the train, and Adrian Brody has taken this quietly throughout his life because, yeah, he didn't want people to know he was responsible for the train crash, which killed all these people. And so all the patients he's been seeing are the ghosts of the people that died in the train track. That's twist number one.
So I just have like a logic question. So if, because we are to believe that people didn't know it was Adrian Brody and his friend that left their bikes there, right?
Correct.
But it was known that bikes were what caused the crash.
So that's the thing that bothers me about it from a logic standpoint as well. I reread the Wikipedia right before this just to like double check. I think people like couldn't quite figure out what caused the derailment, and there were bikes on the track, and therefore they were just kind of like, I guess it was the bikes, you know?
I feel like, but I feel like that's also stupid because even with the way that it does actually happen, because we can tell them this too, right?
Well, I think we wait for that.
Okay. But even with the way it does happen, any like, you know, crime scene investigator worth their salt would be like, oh, at this time of day, the track should have been this way, you know?
I think it's because of who was involved.
Okay, and we move along.
And we move along. Well, anyway, I mean, it's just frustrating because, like, so Adrien Brody has seen the ghost of this young girl named Elizabeth who died in the train. And she's, like, she just, like, starts freaking out all the time when he sees her. And, like, you know, we're kind of led to believe, oh, this is a parallel for his daughter. Which, again, unearned. It's unearned. It's icky. Don't use the death of the daughter in that way. I don't know, man. Come up with something else. Like, it just, like, is a, so that was part of it. And basically, Adrien Brody goes to his friend who was with the bikes with him in his hometown. And that man looks like he's been an alcoholic for about 30 years. And
clearly not living well.
Not doing okay. Not thriving, not 30 and flirty and thriving, you know? And Brody is like, we got to talk about what happened. And the guy's like, we were teenagers. No. And then.
But we don't know at that point, what it was.
No, we didn't even know about the bikes on the tracks yet. And then when we did find out about the bikes on the tracks, I was kind of like, yeah, you were teenager. Also, bicycles would not derail a train.
Like, right. Like, I'm like, even two bicycles.
Like, but in what world?
Before I even knew it had anything to do with the train, I thought to myself, how weird that these kids would leave their bike on train tracks.
Same. Who does that?
Like, before the, like, they even, I'm like, that's the dump. Nobody, no one would go, oh, you know where the place to leave our bikes is? On the active train tracks.
So stupid. So stupid.
Like, that's just, like, a dumb thing that I just can't get behind in the movie.
Especially when it's, like, I could, like, weirdly see it if it was, like, oh, they were in this really long tunnel, and there was, like, a door, and they go in the door, but they leave their...
I could only see it if it was, like, train tracks they thought were abandoned. And then it's like, oh, what's this train doing coming this way?
Even still, why would you leave it on an abandoned... You know, like, none of it is logical. Yeah. None of it is. There's a lot of things you're just supposed to ignore in this motion picture. You go, okay, sure, yeah.
Including the bad writing and also the as Ariana mentioned, the ghost effects.
Yes, so our Italian friend Ariana emailed us. That's who Amelia is just talking about. Yeah. She emailed us her thoughts on the movies. Great work, Ariana. Thanks again for the email. We're a little bit late recording this, which is why I have not responded to you yet. The ghost effects, I was watching it on my phone. So to me, I was like, this is great. No notes.
Oh my God. It looks like a PowerPoint fade. The way incredible. That, like, the
ghost move. I mean, I probably won't go back and look at it, but I should go back and look at it.
It's truly, and then there's this moment that I had to rewind to make sure that I saw it correctly. But the dead girl, you know, she's like in makeup that totally makes her look dead, and she turns back to him, and she, like, literally does, like, the Prince move where she goes like this, like, come this way.
Ugh. Yeah, there's, the other thing that I texted Amelia about, I know, like I said, sometimes we do try our best not to talk to each other about the movies, but sometimes it just happens. Adrien Brody talking to his daughter before she dies in a flashback, he's talking to his daughter, and I just, my whole body was just like,
cringy.
This is a man who does not know how to deal with children. Like, this is clearly not someone who has kids, and he does not know how to talk to children.
Yeah.
And there is no warmth or chemistry between these people whatsoever.
And they don't know how to, I mean, Brody has been in movies with uniquely bad father-child relationships. I mean, let us not forget what happens in Splice.
True.
I mean, the most...
Maybe that's part of it as well, is I can... It's, like, lodged in my brain that he fucks his daughter in Splice.
Splice, it's
his monster daughter.
It's the most... It's the probably the craziest thing I've ever seen in a movie.
Spoiler alert, guys. Sorry if you haven't seen Splice. Don't? Don't watch it.
No, I think Splice is worth a watch. Splice, I think I probably rated that highly.
Splice is pretty fun. It's horrifying.
Horrifying.
And no, not from like it's horrifying in like a psychological, not even like a horror way, you know?
Yeah, it's like a how did this get made, like what's going on type of horror.
Yeah.
Like, how do we live in a society that produced this?
People were like, you know what we should write?
Splice.
Let's the fact write that it did, Splice. I'm like, how, who produced, like, what? Crazy. Wild times. The father-daughter dynamic in this, it's weird. Again, I don't buy it. And we'll find out too that there's weird fathers across the board in this movie. When Adrian Brody goes home to his father, his dad's like, I don't know, seems to be a little cagey, right? Like his dad's kind of like, what are you back here for?
What happened that made them lose a relationship, you know? Was it like, was he an absent father? Like, what, you like, you're waiting for to get like little pieces of the of plot line, but like, but then you real, but then we learn why.
But then we learn. I mean, I think we can lead into that now.
So
Adrian Brody goes to confess to the police about the bikes on the track. And the lady is basically like, you know, that was a really long time ago. Like, I doubt they're even going to convict you of anything. Like, thank you so much for coming forward. And we find out that her mom died in the train crash. So, like, it's crazy that she's, you know, even being that kind to him in all of this. Like, hell yes, police lady. And then she's like, wait a second. Something's not adding up here. I think she has the same thing that we had, which is like, how the fuck do bikes on a track derail a train? Like, that's not how it works.
Right.
And she ends up looking through evidence. Ooh, I forgot to mention there's a hot Google search action moment.
I was going to mention that. And I was going to ask you, because of the, you know, order in which things are revealed in this movie, Adrian Brody, when Brody is like starting to realize that there is something that his patients all have in common, we see a really, as Linnea mentioned, hot Google montage of him just of Google, like a very active Google montage of, you know, you get everything. You get like
horror,
you know,
movies love to do this.
Moving around.
Oh my God. They love Google search montages.
But then remember how he started, then it was a really great montage of him taking the information and placing it along a map of him like moving along the map. And because of the way the information was revealed, we had no idea what he was doing with that map. Right. I remember in the moment being like, okay, what in the hell is this supposed to be?
Yeah, but I just like, I love the Google search. They do this in Twilight in, I don't remember, I think the first Twilight, where Bella's just on the computer Googling it. And it's just like, it's so funny because like, I understand the point of things like that where it's like, oh, you need to explain like how your character got the information, and like, and obviously they're not going to make you like real time watch them Googling things, but it's just like so funny that it's become such a trope in movies now. It's just like someone on a computer just like Googling stuff.
because that's life now. That's what we're doing.
That is life now. We're Googling. I like shortening it to Googling.
Googling.
Yes. So that montage happened, which thank you. Yeah, I'm glad we got to discuss it because it is quite wonderful.
And then I wanted to bring up another thing that Ariana mentions, which I also could not believe, and just like another logical hole in this movie is that, like, you know, one thing that they like set up for us at the beginning, like before we know all of his patients are dead, is that he's like seeing all these different patients, like numerous patients. You think that, and and he's also straight up a bad therapist. Like they would show him like zoning out through like multiple clients, and like one client noticing him zoning out, and he's like coming back and just like, you know,
he's like, half-heartedly
responding to her.
I'm
it's
here.
Like, terrible therapist, absolutely terrible. But then you learn that all those patients are dead, and they never, like, let us know, okay, well, where was the money coming from for his gigantic home that he's got with his wife who does not work?
I'm going to go ahead and say New Zealand, question mark. I don't know anything about how the government or economy of New Zealand works. I'm just going to guess that you can just be fine there. You can be fine not making money with your ghost patients.
Yeah.
Right? I do wish they would have addressed it. Like, I feel like there could have been something where it's like, he's like unknowingly committing fraud, you know, by like claiming he has all these patients, mm-hmm. even though they're not there. And like, maybe it's through like their insurance or through the government, you know, like something like that would be like, oh, okay. Like, I could believe that. Fine. But the other strange thing on that same vein is Sam Neill, bless his heart, we love him, is his mentor, question mark?
And just so happened to also be on the train? Or was he just also dead and not on the train?
Yes, and that's what I mean. It's like Sam, like, there's a moment, I believe, that they exchanged some kind of, like, when I was training you type stuff, right?
Yeah,
where, like...
Yeah.
But Sam Neill is also a ghost. So, right. like, Adrian Brody didn't actually complete any training. He just hung out with a ghost.
Or has he died since and Adrian Brody didn't know that his mentor has been dead?
No, because Adrian Brody was a teenager when that train crash happened. His mentor would have just been dead the entire time. So that's another
plot about that.
Yeah, that was the one that got me.
But did we ever see Sam Neill on the train with all the ghosts?
No, Sam Neill essentially says, I am a ghost to Adrian Brody.
No, I know. He definitely was a ghost. But did they fuck up so bad in the storytelling that they even put him on the train?
I'm like 99% sure that he was on the train. I'm pretty sure that all of the patients and, like, all of the ghosts he was seeing were train-adjacent ghosts.
Right.
Because
he was, like, ghosts, yeah, literally
at
so
least,
young.
At least the rules of this movie, they follow one rule, which is that the ghosts don't fuck with you unless it's directly related to the accident that you witnessed.
Yeah, no, and Sam Neill is definitely a mentor figure. Otherwise, where did Sam Neill come from?
How were they talking? He was on the train.
Yeah.
But again, yes, he trained him, which would explain why he's not a very good therapist, because he's just been taught by a ghost the whole time. I mean, come on, they've got different rules.
No, like, he literally, the movie, that is like a logical fallacy. Like, he could not have been if he was on the train.
Yeah. It's so silly. It's
Oh, that's great. I love that nobody ever... What, do you think anybody knew that about the movie and, like, were afraid to say something to because maybe the wheels were already in motion?
I mean, I feel like that's most of the plot holes in this movie, right? It's just like...
You just roll with it.
But we can't say anything. It's happening. Right? It's happening. Just let it happen and we'll just have it on our IMDb and
let
move
it go.
On with our lives.
Just let it go.
I think that a lot for, like, movies that are... Like, do people know, as someone who has never worked on a movie or television show, do people know when it's bad when they're working on it? Or are people...
No. Oh, yeah, no. Like, I mean, there's people that hate their jobs that are going to just hate the show because of it. But it's very common for people to hate the show that they're working on while they're working on it and not like it.
Okay. So then... But that's different than, like, knowing if it's good or bad, you know?
Right. You know, like, I think people know.
I think people knew on The Idol from the people I've talked to who worked on that show.
Yes.
They were all kind of like, this isn't
what the hell
be good.
Is this? What in the Sam Hell is this?
What in the Sam Hell? Yeah, I think about that a lot, though, where I'm like, you know, if you're on, especially if it's, like, you know, a director who usually doesn't miss.
Yeah.
And then they have, like, one real stinker. And so everyone on the production is probably like, oh my gosh, this is going to be amazing. And 100%. I wonder if there's like one person there who's like, fuck, I think this is going to be bad. Like, yeah. it is incredible to me that good movies are ever made. There's just so many people involved.
So many people, who get like to make decisions, right?
How does that end up
tugging at it from different directions?
It's a miracle that we get good
anything
movies.
Anything is good. Ever. Have you seen Killers of the Flower Moon yet?
I just saw. Yeah. We'll save that for the end. Let's finish the movie.
Can I say one more thing about Backtrack?
Yeah, I was going to say, we should talk about Backtrack. Yeah.
Oh, okay. you know how, like, in scary movie, I think this was supposed to be a scary movie. This was, like, would be classified as a scary, like, a horror movie.
Yeah, psychological thriller, I guess.
Yeah, and, like, you know how there's moments in every one of those movies where people do things in the movie where you're like, oh, don't do that, that's so dumb. Like, when Adrian Brody was at his house trying to avoid ghosts, because he got to a point where he was like, okay, I'm gonna try to, like, you know, like, not see these ghosts. He goes up to his door that's like flapping open and closed and open and closed, and he opens the door into a dark closet, tries to turn on the light, can't turn it on, and then goes into the closet to figure out why he can't turn the light. And I'm like, you're trying to not see ghosts and you're going into a dark closet where the light's not working?
Classic. Logical.
And remember, the closet door immediately closed behind him.
Yeah. Not the brightest bulb. So Adrian Brody goes back to his childhood home, period. Yeah. And his dad's there, talking to the dad, confesses to the police. The police lady is like, hang on, starts looking through all of these documents. She doesn't Google search, she evidence searches. She looks at the real
yes,
deal.
Do.
Hard copy.
That's a competent woman. That's a competent female character.
Yes, thank God. And she, until this part, where she goes alone to the dad's house, to Adrian Brody's father's house, and is like, hey, I need to talk to you about that accident 30 years ago.
The dumbest thing.
Alone. I was just like, wait, now hang on.
You're going to confront a man about being a murderer alone?
Alone? Bold moves. And she's basically just like, I need to talk to you about what happened. And then, is that right when he hits her and puts her in, like, a car or something? He knocks her the fuck out.
Immediately knocks her out and then puts her and ties her up and throws her in his trunk.
Yes. And then, so then Adrian Brody goes back to the scene of the crime, right?
No, he goes to his dad's house.
Oh, he goes to his dad's house. That was a different time. House. Yes, he goes to his dad's house. And basically, like, we start piecing together what's happening, which is that that girl, the stand-in daughter, Elizabeth, that died in the train crash all those years ago, that Adrian Brody's been seen as a ghost. Because basically he thought that when he confessed to the bicycles on the train tracks, all the ghosts would go away because his soul, like, their souls would be at rest. The truth is out there, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't happen. So then he's like, what the fuck? Like, what's going on? There must be more happening than this. And he starts to kind of, like, psychoanalyze himself and go back into his thoughts and starts realizing that he and his friend, the people that they saw hooking up, I hate saying that in the context of what's about to happen. He saw his dad raping Elizabeth, who's like a fucking 10-year-old. Again, not that raping an adult woman is any better, it's fucked. It's really fucked. Mm-hmm. And then the dad, like she gets away, starts chasing after her, and then they're like fighting in the like train house thingy.
Wait, are you telling me that the people in the car was the dad raping Elizabeth?
I believe so.
I never put that together.
At least, well, and I didn't quite either. I was, this is what the Wikipedia told me when I was trying to refresh my memory before I did this, which would make sense because they do show them looking at the car quite often. And so I think that's what they see. And then, like, as in the scuffle, like, Elizabeth, like, pushes the train track so that switches the rails, and that's what derails the train. It was never the bicycles on the train track. And then the dad kills Elizabeth and is like, oh, great, I can just put her body next to the train, and everybody's going to be like, oh, that girl died in a train crash.
And let's also note the father is the chief of police.
Yes. So, yeah, like, no. that's why I say, like, in the investigation of, like, oh, two bikes on a train track, like, he'd be able to be like, I don't know that we need to look into that too much. That sounds plausible. Bikes right. on a train track. Yeah. So, yeah, really dark, really weird twist. Again, this is that kind of, like, classic, to me, this is, like, classic psychological horror slash horror in general of just, like, oh, we need to do something crazy that they'll never have seen coming.
Right.
And, like, I just find it... There's a lot of things I find frustrating about it. Some of which being, like, if you're going to give me a ghost movie... Like, I love a ghost movie.
Yeah.
I want more fucking ghost movies in my life. I don't necessarily want them to be ghost movies about violence perpetrated against women.
Right.
Slash young women, young female children.
Right.
Yeah, it just, like, I don't know. It just feels like it felt... So I think it just, like, it treated it all with such little deference to the trauma. And, like, I know they didn't try. Like, I'm sure they thought in their head that they were giving it kind of... more respect than they were. But right. like, but also, the death of the daughter, like, it just, like, everything felt like a convenient means to an end versus, like,
this
is a yeah, like, this is a man suffering and like, this is why. Like, I could see a world in which a plot like this is interesting and well done. It's just,
yeah.
this is not the movie
right
that did that well.
Yeah. It did not. And I just also was just thinking, like, God, imagine how much it must suck to be an actor and have to act that.
Yeah. Terrible. Really terrible.
You know?
Really, like, truly terrible. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
You can't feel good about that.
No. I don't, because then it's also like, what, are you going to, like, laugh in between takes? You're going to, like, pal around with your co-stars after, like, in right. between takes? Like, absolutely not. Like, that's, changes the whole dynamic of everything, you know? Right. Like
what kind, what, like, where do you have to go mentally to be able to get yourself to, like, do it, you know?
Yeah. 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 It just, I don't know. A lot of this movie just, it felt really unearned. And, like, maybe this, the whole, like, ghosts, everyone's a ghost on a train type thing. Like, I don't know. There's, like, I feel like there could have been something there that's interesting without fucking raping a child, you know? Right. Like, not that, you know, yes, that happens in our world, and not that we don't need to make movies about it, but just, like, is this really the movie to do it, you know?
Yeah, like, I mean, and to, and if the, and it did feel unearned, like, that dad being a serial rapist and murderer is of he, children.
Did it happen?
Yeah, they were like, this can't be the only, because, well, I mean, this guy was, they never established a motive for why right. he killed this
right.
girl.
Right.
You know? And he was killing them so indiscriminately, it must have been that he just so happened to kill one at the same time that a train was going by, you know?
So I
mean,
silly.
So it was like the perfect alibi, you know? I mean, like
how convenient.
It was Deus Ex Machina. But yeah. like, you know, if the dad is like as indiscriminate serial killer, that character, he was too normal, you know? Like that dad needs to be weirder. There need to be more, you know,
or more charming. It needs to go either direction.
Yeah, he can't just be that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, it's weird. I also, like, I wish I wish there had been more earlier in the movie about, like, maybe the wife saying, like, have you spoken to your dad recently? You know, like, something, because it just felt so random when he showed up at the dad's doorstep. I was like, okay, this seems like a random character to introduce right now. And so, again, looking back at that, like, remembering that I felt that and looking back at that and going, oh, it's because they were trying to set up for him to be the main villain. Like, it just is like, but he was introduced so randomly and, like, two-thirds into the movie. Like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
All in all, I don't know. I give this movie a one because I didn't hate it as much as the others. Maybe a two?
I will say the first twist I obviously saw coming.
Yeah.
Second twist, it being the dad, I didn't see coming, so it was a little bit entertaining in the moment, but the more you think about it, the more you're like, no, they didn't earn that. It was also dumb, you know?
Like, so, just because you don't see a twist coming doesn't mean good. Like, that's not how it works.
So, yeah, I'm going to give this a two.
Yeah, okay. I really appreciated that it was 90 minutes. I will say it felt longer than that. It did. Yeah. It felt longer than that. It would have gotten more stars from me if Sam Neill were in more of it, if he had more screen time.
Totally.
Not enough Sam Neill.
Even though his character literally could not have existed.
I mean, again, I'm just kind of like, did he get his degree?
No.
Before that, and then this guy was just a mentor after he got his degree.
He's a character from another dimension. He's a dimension hopper.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've never trained under a ghost psychotherapist, so...
What they don't tell you is that Backtrack takes place in the multiverse. And that's actually where he's from.
Have we talked about ghosts? Do you believe in ghosts? I think we did talk about ghosts.
I absolutely believe in ghosts.
Interesting. I do not.
I believe in energy.
Interesting.
Energies.
Interesting. I don't believe in ghosts, but as one of my friends, I think I've said this, as one of my friends put it, like, I'm not going to fuck around with that shit, though, you know? Like, you're not going to see me at a Ouija board. Uh-uh.
No, right. I'm not going to push it.
Yeah, no, like, no, I'm not, but I think brains are really powerful is, I guess, what I mean by that is the brain sees what it wants to. I actually just read a really interesting thing that said that, I'm going to fuck this up. There's a new scientific study that, it's about, like, people hearing voices. Like, don't normally hear voices. And basically, I think it had to do with, like, a visual cue and a sound, like, not matching up. Like, if they, like, prodded someone with a rod at a certain time while also, like, showing them an image or something. Basically, they think that hearing voices, as in, like, kind of like a ghostly type thing, has to do with the brain dealing with competing sensory inputs. And so that's, like, possibly/plausibly an explanation for ghost phenomena, is that, like, when your brain is interpreting these different signals, it kind of, like, fills in the void with stuff, with, like, voices and whatnot, which makes sense to me. This is what I mean by brains being very powerful, is, like, brains, I'm like, are. Oh, it's gonna feel it, like, I was reading about Bloody Mary recently, and originally the ghost story of Bloody Mary was that, like, if you say Bloody Mary and like walk down a flight of stairs backwards or walk up a flight of stairs back, something like that, and, like, looked in a mirror, you would see your husband's face, your future husband's face in the mirror. I was like, oh shit, I gotta try that.
You said you don't fuck with the paranormal.
Yeah, but this is because it's not evil Bloody Mary. It's like, no, she's going to show you your husband. Like, she's hanging. No, I'm not actually going to try it. But that, I believe that the Wikipedia for that was explaining also why people possibly see like figures in darkened mirrors and stuff like that. It's just, it's all like sensory. Again, it's like, I think the brain, like when people have out of body experiences and stuff like that, I'm like, yeah, your brain is filling stuff in. Yeah. I don't think that negates.
It's like we only use 10% of our brain.
That's not an accurate fact.
Is that not true?
No, that's a very common misconception.
100% of it.
I mean, I don't know that's 100% all the time, but like you are using a lot of your brain all of the time. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That, but I'm glad there to is.
Hear it.
Huh?
I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah. No, your brain is not just like running on batteries.
Yeah.
But I don't think it negates the power. I think it's frustrating, you know, like when I try to explain to people, I'm like, yeah, like I don't think out of body experiences are real, quote unquote, but I think the perception of it is, right? It's like the things you think are real to you, so they're real. Totally. But like, I don't know that I would say it's like an actual like physical provable thing, but your brain is doing this thing that feels real to you, so of course it feels like, of course it's real to you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, I feel like I've gotten into not fights or arguments, but it's just like, I don't know, it makes a lot of sense to me that brains just do what they want. Powerful.
Shall we talk about next week's film?
Oh yeah, tell me about it. Tell me all. And also, yeah, pardon the lateness of this episode for those of you who listen regularly. I was camping. I was up looking for fall in California, speaking of fall, and was solo camping up in the Eastern Sierra for a bit. So I'm back now.
That sounds incredible.
It was quite nice.
This next film. This is a short film.
Oh, wait. We're not going to do shorts. Yeah. So pull up other stuff.
Okay, interesting. He makes three shorts in a row.
I do remember that. I wonder why. What was going on then? What year was that?
2015. Same year as Backtrack.
Huh.
Okay, this film looks interesting. It's called Septembers of Shiraz. Brody and Salma Hayek. Prior to the Iranian Revolution, it was a place... Okay, so this is already a fragment. Prior to the Iranian Revolution, it was a place where people of all religions were allowed to flourish. This is the story of a prosperous Jewish family who abandon everything before they are consumed by the passions of revolutionaries.
Okay.
Okay.
So you said Salma Hayek's in it?
Salma Hayek herself.
Damn. Hottie herself.
Hottie McHotterson herself.
You want to have a 3-minute sidebar on Killers of the Flower Moon?
Yes, absolutely. What did you think?
I liked it. It's 3.5 hours long. I did know that going into it. I went to a 4 p.m. showing because of it. I would recommend that. And the only complaint I have about the length, which longtime listeners will be amazed to hear me say, is that I just kind of had to pee by the end. But otherwise, I wasn't necessarily, like, it didn't feel 3.5 hours long, which...
That's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it felt more like a 2+ hour movie, you know, like that kind of like, yeah, okay, it's like 2:15, 2:30. It felt like that more than 3.5. Very well shot, interesting. Devastating, you know, all that jazz.
I've heard that it is about really illustrating the greed of the white man.
I mean, yeah, but everyone's greedy, I guess. Like, it is. It 100% is. But it's also kind of about, like, examining the lens through which we tell stories because, you know, at the end of the day, it's still a white man telling the story about, like, you know, like, it, I don't know, it's well done. I feel like it's just the greed of men, like, yes, greed, like, white people, but also just greed of men, and like, mm-hmm. the way that history moves and changes things, and it's well done. I liked it.
Yeah, awesome.
Little known you know, I didn't know the history of it beforehand, which is one of those things where you're like, what?
Right.
Literally the first murder case investigated by the FBI in the history of the United States. Because the FBI was just created right around when it happened.
Oh, wow.
So that's also interesting. Yeah, it was good. I recommend it. I mean, I think it's worth seeing in theaters just because as well, then you're not going to have like all the distractions of, oh, this, like, I'm going to pause it halfway through and go and whatever. The lead actress is like absolutely phenomenal. Like, she better win an Academy Award for it. And Leo, is Leo still not won his Academy Award?
I don't know.
He's been nominated like a bajillion times, and I think he still hasn't won. I have a feeling it will be this movie. I have a feeling.
Man, this movie might take everything.
Probably. He did win. Okay. He won for The Revenant.
Oh, okay.
But for many years, like, he'd been nominated for like a bunch.
Yeah, it was like a thing.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape, The Aviator, Blood Diamond, Wolf of Wall Street, Once Upon a Time was after The Revenant. I've still never seen The Revenant.
Ooh, me neither.
Well, there you go. That'll be our other sidebar. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, do you have any other reports for anything?
No, that's all I got. That's okay, all I got great. For today. It's great to finally be back with you guys after a short little break.
Yeah, our little I don't
holiday.
Yeah, I was like, what? Oh, sabbatical. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
My brief sabbatical. Yeah, we will hopefully be on a schedule. And if anything else, I'm like stoked that this is kind of coming right around Halloween. So this episode goes.
The ghosty episode for Halloween.
And if you have any favorite ghost movies, please email us, brodyfestnotquest@gmail.com. I'm always looking for a good ghost movie to watch. So send them my way. Thanks, guys. We love you.
Love you. Until next time.
Adrian Brody.